While they waited for the ship to eventually wend its way to Sydney, the women passed their time taking tours around the city, traveling on ferries on its famous harbour, visiting Taronga Zoo, riding commuter trains across the Sydney Harbour Bridge, walking around the harbour foreshore, and touring the Opera House on Bennelong Point. They also spent several leisurely afternoons, which slid seamlessly into the balmy late spring evenings, enjoying beers in the historical precinct, The Rocks. Toddy purchased tickets to the Colgate International Women's Tennis Championships in late November at White City, where they cheered for 1971 Wimbledon champion Yvonne Goolagong-Cawley in her comeback, which included a win over compatriot Kerry Reid. Vern invited Toddy and Beasy to a party at his John Street Woollahra home, where the pair would meet, so they were told, Vern's friends and associates, some of Australia's leading actors, designers, and lawyers. When they arrived at the house, the party was in full swing, and among the milling strangers they spotted the familiar profile of Bob Lang. During the party, they thought they heard several people refer to him by the name of Philip, although he made no attempt to speak to Toddy or Beasy. Toddy made a mental note to follow this up the next time they saw Bob, or was it Philip? Vern's wife and their young children also joined the party, for which Vern had arranged caterers and serving staff. It was quite the show, and it was what Toddy expected of Vern, who on the one hand was living up to her expectations as a flashy and successful businessman, but who on the other hand was giving her cause for concern about his character, reliability, and trustworthiness. But the bottom line, as always, was that he was family, and that, after all, was what Toddy valued over everything else. With each passing day and every conversation Toddy had with Vern, another red flag was raised with Beasy, prompting her to ask more questions of her companion, but getting fewer answers in return. As both women sat and discussed their predicament, they reached agreement on one important aspect. Whatever Vern's inducements, risking their lives and their health, especially that of Toddy's, simply weren't worth it. They resolved they would be tough with Vern and demand he get them, rather than let them, out of this horrible situation. Shortly after 2:30 p.m. on New Year's Eve, after a long walk from their van, Toddy and Beasy boarded a Sydney-bound train at Brooklyn Station. Upon arrival at Sydney's Central Station, they caught a taxi to Woollahra. They followed the same routine as Toddy had previously undertaken, standing outside the art gallery in Paddington. The regular watch, however, didn't appear to be on duty. Toddy found a payphone and called her nephew. The voice on the other end of the line said he was expecting them, but at the Sunset Motor Lodge. They hailed a taxi and headed into King's Cross to the service departments and waited in the foyer for Vern. He finally made contact by phone through the motel's reception at about 6 p.m. and instructed them to walk down to Rushcutters Bay Park, where he would pick them up in a white van. The women waited at the park by the water for Vern to appear. And shortly before 7 p.m., his familiar face appeared, but driving an unfamiliar vehicle. He stopped, and the passenger door opened for them. Vern didn't say much, except that he was taking them to a quiet spot to have a talk. He drove around the bay and found an alley into which he reversed and parked. The discussion was about their attitude to what lay ahead, and a proposal for them to transfer ownership of the camper van to Bob Lang, who by this stage they had discovered was in fact Philip Shine. Shine, they were told, used the alias Bob Lang to keep an ex-wife off his trail and ultimately away from his money. Toddy was close to blowing a fuse again. "We trusted you from the start," she said, "but you've lied to us on so many occasions, didn't turn up when you were supposed to, and played such peculiar games that we don't believe you anymore. I can't trust you. We can't trust you. And I told you before, we don't want any part of whatever you're involved in. We're not interested in financial gain or anything. We just want to go home." And with that, she began to sob.